Crouch. Bind. Set.
Joe presents The House of Rugby, Season 3.
Hello and welcome to a Lions special on House of Rugby. It has been a pretty big day for all Lions fans, for coaches, for players, and I'm delighted to say joining me for this one, Lion 796 and 755, also known as Sean O'Brien and Adam Jones. Gents, it must give you throwbacks to what you all went through, although this one was a little bit more showbiz and then Alan Wynne-Jones getting teleported in and lots of different stuff. But did it give you the goosebumps? Did it sort of remind you of what you went through?
I think I nearly fell asleep watching it, Lee, to be honest, today. It was
offended.
Nothing to do with you, mind you. But it was it was very drawn out, I thought, today. Obviously, different circumstances and COVID and protocols and stuff. And it went on for a while, but it was definitely different. I think I definitely prefer 2017-2013 squad announcement anyway, for sure. But unusual, and it'll fit into what's happened over the past year or two this side of the world. So no surprises, though, really, that it was like that.
I was quite excited. Obviously, there was no chance of me going as a player or a coach or fan. But I was quite nervous about it. And I think obviously there's mates involved with that. But and Danny Kerr was in the mix, you know. And so I was a little bit on edge for it. But then, it was a bit, then when it was all over.
We'll get on to that in just a moment. There were a few players who were selected who did message me afterwards and say, just sort of like it was all my idea, what on earth were you thinking? Why did you make us wait so long? And I was like, well, it's nothing to do with me. I just do what I'm told to do. So I don't think you're necessarily the only person who thought that, Sean, but it was interesting in the end. And what made me have a little smile is think how long we've all been banging on about who's on your list, and every player has been asked, every coach has been asked, every fan's made a list. Would anyone have listed the squad that was announced today?
I definitely don't think so. I don't think even Gats, I'd say, knew yesterday what squad he was bringing. I'd say there was a few. I think he mentioned in the interview actually today that he put one more to it last night at some stage.
They had a 4-hour meeting last night, and they added they had to get dispensation. It came through at 7 o'clock last night to add the 37th man.
Yeah, it's definitely an unusual looking squad, to be fair. And a lot of surprises we'll discuss in the show later on. But I don't know, if I was South African now, I wouldn't be fearful of that squad, being perfectly honest. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. But no easy task, mind you. A lot of really, really good players left at home that aren't selected. But again, there's another bit of rugby to be played, and there's always a few injuries. So the squad selected today mightn't necessarily be the one flying over to South Africa in 2 months' time.
Yeah, Adam, would you agree with that? I mean, was there a lot of surprises in that squad for you?
Yeah, I was shocked. Like, there was a few bankers and there was a few gimmies who were definitely going to go. But yeah, there was a few left field selections. But you know, Gats always does that. He did that in 09 with Alan Quinlan.
The dog is chewing on a pig here. This big, like, squeaky toy. Come here, Zeus, come up here.
That's up, a relief, because we up, thought up, it was actually you. There he is. Okay. Here's the 37th man.
What is that dog?
He's a chocolate cocker spaniel. Easy now. Down.
By the way, you sort of take a sort of umbrage at the dog as opposed to the squeaking pig. What is that pig? What is that dog?
Sorry about that, lads. Get on, you. Get over
there. Okay, from dogs and pigs back to Lions. Who was your biggest shock then, Adam?
Kyle not being involved. I think there's a couple. I think Ring Rose is very unlucky. Thomas Williams is very unlucky, but just in my old position, and Sink not being there, I was a little bit baffled by that one. I got to be honest with you. I expected him, and Tyke Furlong was always going to go. He's the best tight end prop in the world. I saw Kyle, and I thought Thomas Francis was going to go as well. But so I'm a little bit shocked with the tight end selection. I got to be honest with you.
And Sean, it's that sort of one where do you focus on the surprises in the squad or do you focus on the surprises of those left out the squad? So who stands out for you, both in and out?
I suppose in, I was surprised Van der Merwe was in, even though he was talked about being in. I was a little bit surprised that he was in, considering you have Johnny May out, who's probably been one of the best players in the last 3 or 4 years this side of the world. So he was a bit of a surprise, although he was fancied, obviously. But Ringrose was the biggest one for me, probably, as well. I just think he's a phenomenal player. Haven't played with him, knowing what he's capable of. He's a big game player, too, to be fair to him. You know, on bigger days, he performs really, really well. Him and Slade, you know, it's funny when you think of the two of them, and they add that little different dimension to, you know, the attack. They can create a little bit of stuff. And I don't think, with the players they've selected in those positions, that, you know, they're as creative as the lads they're leaving behind. So, yeah, they were the biggest ones for me. I suppose Jack Conan in the back row as well was a bit left field, but I kind of get it. When he was announced, I was like, he's bringing him because he's a different dimension. He's a very good ball carrier. He's great skills. He's playing incredibly well the last few months, really brought his game to another level. And in that Ireland v England game, he was absolutely dominating people, both in attack and defence. So I think that's where he probably played himself onto it. So there's a few like that. And who else? Elliot Daly, I thought, was probably a surprise as well, because he's been not firing on all cylinders. But I think Gats will know what he'll bring to the table and what he'll bring to the touring side. So, yeah, it was a shock, to be fair.
He covers a lot of positions as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He covers all the back three, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he's played 13 as well. So, and he can kick a ball a long way in that high altitude. But I think, I guess the ones you spoke about, Ringrose, he'll know how Townsend wants to attack and he'll know how Tandy wants to defend. So that'll go a long way in, you know, his selection ahead of Ringrose. You know, I thought Ringrose was really lucky not to go, but I think having the Scots coaches in there as well has probably got, you know, a couple of players over the line, which, you know, happens, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Bon, because you look at, you have, you know, you have Gregor there and you have Steve Tandy, but you've those two people talking to Gats about selections, obviously, over the past couple of weeks and up until yesterday. So they're pushing the case for boys they know that are in the system that they want.
Exactly, yeah.
That know it inside out. And, you know, it's going to be easy for them to coach it to them. But at the end of the day, I went for a walk earlier with a dog and I was thinking to myself, there's certain lads who have produced the goods for the last 4 years, likes of a Ringrose. He's so unlucky to miss out because he's done everything in the game the last 4 years. Incredible defender, brilliant in attack, creates things out of nothing. So you'd wonder then, like, is it just favouritism, I suppose, towards a team because you know someone so well? And it probably is. But it's a harsh way of looking on it from someone like Gary, for instance, to miss out just because of that.
But he is a phenomenal player. Like, you know, Gary Ringrose is a phenomenal player. Are you saying that the fact that Gregor Townsend is there, you know, he can sway Warren Gatland? Because Warren sees the same as everybody else, surely.
I think he would definitely influence Gats's decision. Like, Gats will know, obviously, what Ringer can bring to the table. But you know, someone like Harry's obviously that Gregor knows inside out, that Steve knows inside out, and to be fair to him, he is brilliantly defensively. I would just if you were to ask me who's the better attacker at a 13, I'd say it'll be Gary Ringrose. That's just my opinion. So yeah, I think they probably have pushed him that way a little bit. Yeah.
I think it's natural, though, isn't it? It's such a short space of time. Yeah. You kind of want as many kind of combinations as possible. So I think that goes with the scrum half and the outside half as well, with wrestling the Ali Price.
Ali Price.
So that goes with them as well. And, you know, I'm not saying they don't deserve to go, but I think the fact you've got these combinations, and you have, you know, you're playing games within 2 weeks, so you need to, you know, almost essentially hit the ground running, you know. And but no, it's certainly I think Gary Ringrose must be absolutely spewing.
Well, it's a good time to hear from Gregor Townsend. Earlier on, I asked him how proud he was to have that number of Scots in the squad.
Yes, I'm delighted for the players that are selected. I can only imagine what it's been like for them this morning, building up to the announcement. So, no, we know. I know those guys, and I'm very pleased for them. I know they'll be excellent lines from, again, the guys that have missed out, whether they're from Scotland, Ireland, England or Wales. I know how tough it is. I got the dreaded phone call in 2001. To say I wasn't going to be part of that tour, so it is really tough. It's you reflect back on it thinking it's one of the biggest disappointments of your career, so mixed emotions, but obviously very delighted for those eight Scots.
Yeah, that's interesting as well from your point of view, because you're obviously sitting here with your coach's cap on, but the fact that you have been there, you've experienced the highs and that disappointment, as you mentioned, it must give you a sort of great insight into the minds of the people who have been selected today, and also those who have missed out, because big names have missed out.
Yeah, and that's a testament to the quality of player that the four countries are producing. The last couple of Six Nations have been really competitive between those four countries, and you now see some big names not going. Like the debates that we had around each position, they were difficult, because you know there's one, sometimes three or four players that could easily be excellent lines in the summer and may yet still be a line. There will be injuries between now and before, and when we leave to South Africa, there'll be injuries in those first couple of weeks. But yeah, I do feel for those that miss out. But obviously, you've got to look forward to the group that you're going to work with. Those 37 players are outstanding players, and they'll be excited. They can't wait to come in, I'd imagine, and get to know their teammates, get to know what's happening over this next few weeks.
And you mentioned 37 players, because originally, until last night, it was 36 players that everyone was talking about, and then Warren sneaked another one in.
Yeah, well, we didn't know if that was going to be confirmed till last night as well, so we finalised the selection around about 5 o'clock, and we were hoping that we'd get the okay for 37, because we'd have to go back and someone would have to be taken off the list. And then around about 7 o'clock last night, we got the thumbs up, so then we could have a couple of drinks. And it was a big relief. Like, yeah, we're really excited about the squad, but to finally get to the position where we can announce the group and get on to looking forward to working with the group was great.
Alan Wynne-Jones, let's have a nod to him. He has broken all records in terms of test match appearances. He is so highly decorated, and to get this honour as the captain of the Lions, it really is the cherry on top of the cake, isn't it?
Yeah, this is his fourth Lions tour. Already that is a huge achievement. So many test caps and so many wins. To come back this year, after winning, becoming most capped test player, and then to go on and lead his team to Six Nations Championships, shows the influence he has over others, shows his own ability, his own durability, but the influence over his team to turn them into winners is something that we are obviously more than hoping, where we're confident he'll do the same with the Lions.
Adam, let's talk about Alan Wynne-Jones. Somebody who probably was the least shocking name that was read out earlier on, but there's been a lot of discussion whether he would be captain. Will it be a match captain? Will it be a tour captain? It's going to be tough for him to necessarily start all three tests, but no surprise that he was announced today as captain, really.
No, I think, I know he's never said it to me, but I know how he is, and I know how he would have been stung by a lot of criticism he had in the autumn. So from a lot of ex-player pundits, you know, who haven't done a fraction of what he's done in the game. So I know he was stung by that, and you know, he'd want to prove these guys right, prove them wrong, obviously, and he did. In the Six Nations, he was the best lock in the tournament, and yeah, the influence he has on the game now is very up there with, you know, your Martin Johnsons and your kind of McCaws, you know, the way he manages a ref, he's the other ref in the field at times as well, which is, you know, it's a very, again, down the New Zealand route with Leo Fitzpatrick and McCaw, these guys used to ref the game for the refs, and he's good at that now. And I don't. He'll get himself right to play in every test. I don't see him as a tour captain or a tour captain as he's just there as like a figurehead, and then yeah. Someone else will captain the test series. He's the best lock in the tour. Certainly the best right hand lock in the tour. So for me, it's going to be probably at the stands, probably him and the Toji to play. So, you know, it's, for me, he certainly deserves to go. And I think the fact he's gone to another level at 36 of what he is now, you know, and taking personally this criticism he's had shows the kind of character and shows he is the guy to lead these blokes out there.
He's done it all, to be fair. He's the obvious choice. You know, great fella around camp, good crack. Good lad, have a beer with. Trains incredibly hard. You know exactly what you're getting. He'll be ready for the test matches, Bomb says. He's an ultimate professional, minds himself really well. Ticks all the boxes for you. And to be fair, there was a lot of criticism probably in November of him. But he proved everyone wrong yet again. You know, in the Six Nations, led incredibly well, has a great relationship with referees. Which isn't a be-all and end-all, but it's a part of being captain and the respect he demands from what he's done in the game. And, you know, he's going to add another chapter to it now. He can be a bit grumpy around camp, I will say that about him. So I used to give him a little tap on the arse every now and again, and a little cheeky squeeze, and I'd be walking by him to cheer him up sometimes. But
did it cheer him up?
It did cheer him up, yeah. It was good fun anyway. It was good fun for me looking at him squirm and run away from me. But I wonder who's that person going to be this time round. But no, he's brilliant. And then, like, you talk about being a test match captain. He is going to be the test match captain. But look who he has around him. He's Owen Farrell. He is Stuart Hogg. He has Ian Henderson, all international captains. Just to name a few, for instance.
Ken Owens,
exactly. So much experience. Yeah. Brilliant as well. Brilliant in the group. Brilliant with referees. You know, so he has all these boys that have a lot of experience around him. So he'll be chatting to those more senior lads about certain things during the week and driving messages and making sure everyone's going the right direction. So it's usually exciting for him. And to be fair, you know, when he was named as captain, we could only be so happy for him with what he's done. Four tour, I think he nearly has tripled the amount of games that I've had, which is sickening at international level. Or he's heading that way anyway. So he's a great man, and what an ambassador for the game of rugby he is. And you know, on the day as well, he's one of these fellas. I've always said this. I played under 21 against him, would you believe? Even though I was 2 years younger. I just hate playing against him.
Well done. Yeah. Get that one in.
Thank you, Bob. You just hate playing against him. Because in the mix of everything, he's trying to choke you up. He's trying to hassle you. He's trying to harass you. And that's what you need when you go into the Springboks backyard. So you want a figure like that as well. And he'll lead from the front. So it's usually exciting for him. I'm delighted for him, to be honest.
He'll be the first guy on the training field and off it as well. That's the thing about him, which I always find, you know, the sort of standards he set, even as a young kid, when he first came through the Ospreys, he was this big lump, you know, just, you know, probably a little bit more puppy fat than he has now, you know, but he was just always, he was so competitive, he was ridiculous from an early age, you know, and you kind of thought after 5, 6, 7 years playing with him, he'd kind of taper off a bit, but it got worse or better. He just keeps going. He wants to be the first one winning drills, you know, and all this stuff, or whatever it is. But I think you have, if you don't know him and you haven't played with him, you'll have a shock what he's like on the training field. So there's a few of these Lions boys will be like, we'll have to train to his standard, which is the key, you know, which is the Lions elite standard. So which is only going to be good for the rest of the tour party.
Yeah, he'll certainly make the Springboks sit up and take notice. And talking of them, let's get the thoughts from former Springbok captain Victor Matfield on Alan Wynne-Jones.
I thought they'll go with Alan Wynne. He's someone everyone looks up to. There was a lot of talk about Itoje taking the captain's armband, but not being the captain of England, I think going in to a big squad like that, taking the leadership role will be very difficult. I think Alan has been very successful. He played really well in the Six Nations as well. He's a guy that everyone respects. I think 157 tests already behind his name, so he's so experienced. So I think he's a great guy leading them. I had the privilege to have a few nights with him. He leads in the bars as well. So it's not just on the field. He leads off the field as well. He's a great guy. So, yeah, and it will probably be one of his last tours as well. So he knows how to pull that squad together.
Victor Matfield there talking to our colleagues at Rugby Joe Ireland. One final thing, guys, on Alan Wynne-Jones. Adam, from the point of Gatland's relationship with him, that must bode well and must have sort of almost got him to this point, really, knowing each other so well.
Yeah, I think, obviously, yeah, they've worked together a long time. And, you know, even in 13, when, you know, when Warby was injured and, you know, Dricker wasn't picked, you know, he was Gatland's go-to guy to go and captain that last test. Actually, I think Sean was mentioned in the dispatches as a potential captain for that game as well. But he went with Alan Wynne, and they've got a good relationship. I think early doors it was a little bit, Al could get a little bit overzealous in games and do silly things, which would wind Gats up. But I think they've kind of they've grown together as a lovely double act, and they've been very successful together, haven't they?
All right, let's take a look at the squad that has been picked in a little bit more detail, starting with the backs. Anyone that surprised you there, if we're sort of thinking of our back three?
I was surprised Johnny May wasn't involved. I like Johnny May. I think he's a good player. He kind of, like, obviously wing play wouldn't be my area of expertise, but I think he creates stuff out of nothing, and but, you know, look, there's a lot of talent there, isn't there? But I think Johnny May is one of my rare favourite English players. I just think he's, he seems a great bloke, and he just does some, he can do special things. It's a lot of talent there. You know, Anthony Watson, Leah Williams, Hogg, these guys. It's very competitive whoever they're going to pick there.
Back three, I think, picked themselves. Stuart Hogg, 15, Anthony Watson, and I am going to go with Lewis Rees-Sammet. I think he'll start on the wing. It'll be a tough one on Liam Williams, but I think that'll be the back three for the opener anyway. You have a bit of experience there, obviously, and then two boys on the wings that are in incredibly, incredibly good form and incredibly fast. For me, they're my kind of picks anyway, for sure.
See, I'd go different for me. I think Liam's got to play fullback. I think he's a brilliant player. I think not that Hogg's not a good player at all. I think he's a great player too. But him, Anthony Watson, they're going to play. I see him in the Premiership all the time, week in, week out. He's fantastic. And I think Josh Adams as well. Just natural try score, but he's a great work rate on the field. Pops up every now and then in and around the rack. I think. And defensively good as well. So I think, and good under the high ball. I think that's going to be key. I don't know whether they put Liam Williams on the wing or, to sort of, because there's going to be a lot of box kicking. You know where they're going to come in. Wherever the back five or back three are, they're going to have to be very good under the high ball. And they're under a lot of pressure for quite an aggressive Springbok team.
I found it very funny today that people were questioning the Josh Adams selection. Or maybe they just hadn't thought of him. But I think he's phenomenal. I think the last few, he's top try scorer in the Six Nations, or in the World Cup, so he was. Phenomenal in the Six Nations. Does his job, doesn't make any mistakes. I think that's the best thing about Josh Adam, actually. He doesn't make any mistakes. And from what some of the Welsh boys tell me, he's an incredible worker and knows his detail and nails down everything. So, yeah, he could be right bomb, to be fair. He could be nailed on as a starter too. I think the back... those, wings and fullbacks they're all class, to be fair, but it's just matching the right combinations. But yeah, I'm sticking with mine anyway for now.
I know we've touched upon the centres at the start, the Gary Ringrose outrage, but from those who have been picked, where are we going to go with that?
I will take this one straight away. I think they will go yes. Henshaw 13 and Bandiaki 12. My reasoning behind this is they're going to come with an absolutely gigantic inside centre, whether it's Dele Alli or maybe Andre Esteban if he gets picked, who's I know well is pretty good. And I think they'll kind of want to go a little bit fire for fire for them. So if you've got Bandiaki, big lump, hard, get over the game line, which Gats loves. I just don't... Yeah. I think if Ringrose is there, you put Henshaw in, one. But I just think Aki and Henshaw could be... And I'm sure they must have played 12 and 13 for Ireland, so...
Yeah, they have.
I feel that's going to be the pairing.
Yeah,
that might change.
Probably, he's probably... Bomber's probably right here, or either that, or Farrell, 12, bigger Farrell, and Henshaw. But... Yeah, I do think that's why Bundy's been picked. I think for the size. I was actually surprised that Manu wasn't involved because he's coming back. I know he's coming back. I've seen a video of him during the week doing some rehab. And I was thinking today there might be a sneaky suspicion that he was going to be in the squad just for his fear, his size and physicality that he brings to a game. He's so hard to handle. He's like a bull in a china shop when he gets going, so it's... He's not an easy man to tackle, and he's certainly good defensively. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting one who starts where. Because, you know, the previous tour he started Tio 12, and the following week then went back to Johnny and Faz. So, it'll be an interesting one. But I do agree with you, Bomb. I think South Africa, the first test, I think South Africa are going to go route one, brute force, and see can the Lions boys stand up to them with that type of challenge. So it'll be interesting. You'd be licking your lips, wouldn't you, if you're standing out there in a five-man line-out?
I'd be way in the line-out, staying out of the way.
But you wouldn't be standing out there, hopefully.
No chance.
Let's talk halfbacks. And actually, one person we haven't mentioned at this stage is Johnny Sexton, the omission of Johnny Sexton, Sean.
Yeah, to be honest, I'd say it was such a close call, and I seen that Jenks had said a bit about it afterwards, just that he's unlucky and that Finn missed out 4 years ago, and Johnny's just unlucky to miss out now, and certain things around the contact area and him being out at the minute. But I don't know. You know what Johnny's able to bring in the high pressure moments of Test rugby. And how he's able to control a game. And, you know, you've seen it time and time again. Like, even on the last tour, people writing him off, saying, you know, this lad's better or shouldn't be there. But, like, he just pulls the strings and puts people in really good positions. And the team just clicks when he's there. So it's a big risk not having him around the squad and there if needed, because he's a big game player. So he'd be very disappointed. But he'd be ready in case anything happens in the next few weeks. For me, probably, you know, starting then will be either Faz, as we said, or Biggs. I think if to go play a bit, obviously Finn is the man because he can just fire the ball around. And then at halfback, it's going to be very interesting because I actually think someone who's not there is probably the best halfback. You know, out of the British and Irish lines, and that's Tomás Allan.
He's just gone from Italy.
Tomás Williams. He's not in. He's. I think I couldn't believe he was out, and you know, nothing against Ali Price, but I just think he's different gravy to him. So I'm very surprised to see him not in the squad, especially as well with Biggs there as well, because they know each other really well. It's tough on him. So I'd see out of the three scrum halves, I think Murr will probably start and Gareth Davies on the bench.
Yeah, I think I'd go along the scrum half. I think it's Tomás Williams. Yeah, so he's hard then by not to go, but I think form at the moment, Daniel has got to be the starting 10. I think obviously you've got Owens. I can't see the Lions going in to the first test with Finn Russell as 10. Obviously off the bench is that he's a total. He's a game changer. And Neil can, we can flip it in there if you need to put him on. But I think Daniel's got to start again. Connor, I thought I saw of him in the Munster Toulouse game. He was looking a bit back to where he was a few years ago. But no, look, I don't. It's pretty close to the scrum halves. I think it's not. No one's like, as you said, the best ones not even going. So it's kind of up in the air. Whoever plays best might get that spot. So it could be Price, Davis, or Murray. There's no one sort of stand out. But on Sexton as well. I think when I was lucky enough to play with him, I was so impressed with the bloke, how he runs the team. It blew my mind, in all fairness. How he literally knew everything. And so as Sean, you said, I'm sure he'll be ready to go. But I think the fact that you're Farrell, Dan Bigger there, I think Russell's totally different to them all. I think if you had Sexton there, it's another same-ish type of player, regardless of how good he is. But I think the way the Scotland connection with Finn Russell has kind of tipped it his balance. So, but hopefully Daniel will get the starting jersey, because he's been, I've known him since he's a 17-year-old chopsy little whingy kid in the Ospreys when he was bossing us out forwards around when he was a pup, so he deserves it for me.
Okay, let's move on to the forwards. Front row. Again, Adam, you sort of mentioned the surprise that Kyle Sinclair had been left out, but from who we've got, what would you imagine?
Oh, Ty Furlong, all day long. If he can play 80 minutes, play 80 minutes. He's kind of he can do everything. He's not just a scrummager. He's not just a ball guy. He's got the all round game, and he's the best tight end in the world, which is is going out there with the best tight end in the world is not a bad thing to have. I think Ken's got to be involved as well, again on form. But I like Cowan Dickey and I like Jamie George, but I think for me, Ken, Lucid's open. I think Lucid's open. I think that's Marco's got the history, but the other two fellas are, both really good scrimmagers. Both, get over the ball well. Tough kids. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised Genji and Marla didn't have a call or a letter at least to see if they fancied it. Because those type of guys, when you go out to South Africa, you've got to have a certain amount of edge. Well, maybe Genji and Marla have got too much edge.
Would you have considered Keen Healy, Bum? Over Marler or
no? I mean, Marler's the best. I'm not saying that, because he's the best scrummager in the world for me. Well, yeah. One, at least in the top, he's phenomenal. But look, I think Genji and I think his Ulster was unreal. I thought if it was anyone ever going to kind of put his hand up for a place, then there was an opportunity. But I think the loose head's open. I think Hooker, Ken and Ty Furlong all day long, and he can kick for goal as well if he wants, because he's that good.
Yeah, I'd probably go the same. I'd probably go Wynn Jones at the minute. I just thought he was brilliant in the Six Nations, solid as a rock, really good around the park. I'd probably start Ken as well, just for his experience and the way he goes about his business. I think Jamie has a little bit of sharpness to get up to speed another little bit, and then Cowan Dickey, you know exactly what you're getting with him. So it'll be a shootout in the hooker position, and then Tig is an absolute shoe in a tight head, and then DeAndre Porter behind him as well. So I think with Robin and having Robin McBride and having the two boys in Leinster, he knows exactly what he's getting there as well, and he'll get a bit of consistency in what he's looking for out of our tight head. So really picks themselves. Tiger's on another level compared to any other tie head at the minute, which is brilliant for him. And I actually heard a rumour that Toulon are going after him for a meal, I think. So best of luck to Dyer if you trying to keep him.
You mentioned Wyn Jones. He's already had his knuckles wrapped today because he was, I was told in my ear in the interviews that it was going to be Jamie George and Wyn Jones to speak to at the end. And then when I looked, when he popped up on the Zoom call, it was Ken Owens. And Wyn Jones hadn't come out of the shower and Ken Owens literally was drafted in. I could see him like zipping up, like soaking wet, trying to zip up as well. So Ken actually said that he's going to, he's going to have a word because you can't be getting starting your Lions like this.
Don't you worry about Ken. Ken loves the media attention. He'd happily do anything.
Ken Owens would be the future president of Welsh rugby.
Oh my
union.
God! Yeah, unbelievable.
I'll bet on that now, Sewell. He absolutely loves talking rubbish.
He'll do his tour, and then he'll be on the WU committee.
He'll be presenting this. okay, let's move on to the second row.
I love it.
Sean.
Second row, I to be fair on this one as well, it was James Ryan is a little bit hard done by, but it was probably between him and Johnny Hill, and Johnny Hill has been playing really, really well. A big man, probably went for more size. He like all the second rows of pick Alan Wynn, Johnny Hill, Itoji, Tyke Byrne, but Tyke Byrne is just like turnover king around the field in that area compared to the rest of them. But we're obviously going to need a bit of weight in the scrum, so he's went for those bigger boys. And James Ryan, unfortunately, lately is little, just coming back from injury, I suppose, and a little bit behind were probably where he was a year ago, because 6 or 8 months ago we would have been, I said he could potentially be one of the captains of the tour because he was going so well. So Sad not to have him in the squad. But I think it'd be Alan Wynn and Itoji to start.
Yeah, I think I'd go along with that. I think I agree with Jim, with Ryan. But I think he's not a right-hand lock. He is a right-hand lock, but he's not. He's, you know, you've got Johnny Hill, who's a bigger man. Al is a big man. I think we're going to have a bigger... I think it's a few times maybe with Ryan, I thought, when he plays against Saracens or when I've seen him play against England, I thought, he's not, you know, where I've seen him in the other games. But he's a fantastic player. Again, he'd be, I'm sure, if he gets called up, he'll do a great job. But, you know, like, you can't look past Al and the Toji. But I don't know where they're going to pick. They go... Courtney Laws on tour now, who I think is a fantastic player as well. And, you know, I think... You know, he's going to come into the mix somewhere because
they've brought the more physical lads, haven't they, Bob? They've brought like Ian Henderson as well. We've like no one has said a word.
Who's
really
brilliant?
About
he's
him.
A great player.
Yeah, who's
Ian
like,
Henderson? He's brilliant
a man child, and he can manhandle people. So like they brought him, they brought Courtney, who can tear people in half, as we know, defensively and stuff. So they've brought bigger boys to deal with the South Africans, hopefully. So they'll have a time picking it, but. I think Alan Wynn and Itoji are the starters, and then someone on the bench.
That might be the most annoying second row combination ever to play rugby.
Oh my God.
Alan Wynn and Itoji, how annoying would they be to play against us?
You'd want earplugs in.
It's just into everything. What an absolute pain in the ass.
And finally, we've got to the back row, Sean. We'll give this one to you, obviously.
I actually think looking at the back rowers who are there, I think it's pretty easy, to be fair. I think it will be Curry at 7. I think it will be Tyke Byrne at 6. And I think it'll be Simmons at 8.
He was doing so well then. It pains me to say because I know how good Tipperick is, but I think Curry will start at 7.
Yeah,
I think I'm exactly with you. Tyke Byrne on the blind side.
Yeah,
I think Lionel option, Fetcher option. You know, probably not the biggest ball carrier in the world. That's probably one thing we might be missing out on. There's a ball carrier up front. If he's a bit play 6, but number 8 for me. Head and shoulders above everyone else, Tolupe Falto. Head and shoulders. I know Simmons is brilliant in Exeter, but Toby will, for me, 100% start the test.
To be fair, You're dead right, probably at eight. I'm going for Simmons just because he's made the squad. He deserves it after missing out on All England time.
Yeah, true.
No one, the way Toby goes about his business, he will probably start eight. But definitely, I think Tighe and Curry, and then it'll be between the other two. But I'd like to see Simmons actually get out in the first test and prove a point.
Yeah. And there are a class group of players there for the back row. Were there any surprises who didn't go, you know, no Sam Underhill, for example, or even more Welsh, a Navidi or someone like that, Adam?
They've gone very... There's a lot of second rows who are going to play back as well. So I think Josh would be the one I probably think has missed out. You know, because I think he's got a niggle, though, Gatta said, and so we don't know if he'll be playing many
Billy
games.
Billy Vanapola, we've not mentioned him, actually.
Well, he's... See, this is what I know about Gats. Billy came out and said that Eddie Jones should have coached the last tour, didn't he? After the last New Zealand tour. So I think Billy came out and said if Eddie had coached. So Gats will hold a grudge. And there's no chance of it, I think. That's why I think. I don't know if that's...
I'd probably agree with you, Bob, on that. And the fact that he wasn't fit during the Six Nations.
Yeah, so that might be something with it.
But you have, like, you know, the back rowers are... You know, you talk about Tips. Like, I love Tips as a player. I think he's one of the best players in the world. I actually really love playing. I love playing with him, but I obviously love playing against him as well because you know what you're getting. So it's the back row is competitive. And then Jack Conan gives you something extra as well in attack. He's able to use his feet quickly. He's incredibly quick. He's another lineup option as well, Baum, as you mentioned, in that eighth slot if needed.
Could he play six?
And he's been... Yeah, he can play. He can play six and eight. To be fair, but I think
nobody's mentioned Hamish Watson, have we?
We haven't mentioned him, and like he's been the player of the tournament, been unbelievable. But I still, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the player of the tournament. I still said Curry was, you know, the first name down on the team sheet, just the way he goes about it. And I think he's a bit bigger to start with. Not that it's the be-all and end-all, because you know what you're getting with Hamish Watson. You're getting a really, really hard, tough man coming at you the whole time, bouncing players all over the place when he has the ball as well. So it's not about
he's
that.
He's not, I love it, yeah.
Yeah, I just think Curry in that type of game will come into his own a little bit. And, look, that's all our opinions. When they start playing midweek games and get moving over there, it could all change very simply. We've seen that in the past. And exactly, someone will outjump someone and just take off, and that's it then. It's done. It's a done deal for a test match. So it's interesting.
Well, somebody who is a huge part of the Lions, not just as a winning line on the iconic 97 tour to South Africa, but now in his role as the chairman of the British and Irish Lions, it's Jason Leonard. And earlier on, I caught up with him.
The amount of excitement this has created, my phone has been buzzing for the last few days, and it's been quite interesting. A number of ex-colleagues, British and Irish Lions players, all wanting to know, right, who's in, who's captain, how many's from Scotland, how many from England, how many from Ireland, how many from Wales. It's been a very exhaustive day, but it's been a very exciting day. I've got to say that now, yeah. Absolute privilege to be here today.
And even of all the lists that all these ex-players and coaches and fans would have come up with, I doubt many of them, if any of them, would have reached this squad, because there are some surprises.
Yeah, I think there is. I think from experience, I think because the Lions is handicapped regarding time together, preparation, and this is no different than any other tour that I've been on with the Lions. But it's a case of sometimes, I think Ian McGeachan said it in one of his tours, where actually it's not just the player and the talent that you're picking. You're picking the person. You're picking the character. Someone who can hit the ground running, that wants to be part of the British and Irish Lions. I always remember his first speech to us as a group of players in 1993 was, we all walked in, and the Welsh boys walked in, and the Scots boys walked in, the English boys walked in, and the Irish boys walked in. And he actually stood there and said, guys, your British and Irish Lions. Leave your nationalities at the door. Yeah. Once you walk in here, you're a British and Irish Lion. And I think this group has got very good characters in it.
Yeah.
So I think it will break down those barriers and make a more cohesive squad in that aspect. So I'm genuinely excited by looking at the squad, the makeup, and the actual units itself. I think there's some really interesting people there. So it bodes well for a very hard tour in South Africa.
And it's going to need that this year, because it's going to be, just with everything going on in the world, a really different tour. It might not have the same fun, excursions, everything like that that we've seen previously, but it doesn't diminish what it means to be a British and Irish Lion, does it?
No, that's very much the case. It's, I think it's going to be a tough tour. Lions tours always are, but South Africa is always one of the toughest tours to go to because of the physicality, and you're playing at altitude and the hard grounds, so you've got everything like that, but also the world we are living in at this moment in time. So it's a real challenge on all fronts, and I think if you have a look at how mixed and diverse that squad is, there's a lot of people there that I think will see this as a challenge and really rise to that challenge, which I think is the making of this tour.
And we in the Northern Hemisphere are all seeing it through our red-tinted glasses with the Lions badge firmly in sight. The players will be hugely excited, whose names you had the honour of reading out today. But I imagine the Springboks now, they'll be licking their lips, because this is close now.
Very much so. And obviously South Africa as a team have not played, obviously, since the World Cup final. So it is special. I mean, we always talk about it from a Lions perspective, where we have the benefit of once every 4 years. Yeah. These countries only get it once every 12 years. So it's a very, very important part of their rugby career is to actually play against the Lions. I mean, a 12-year career is a very good career. So if you get it come round once, that's great. But I know of players from South Africa, Australia and New Zealand who have been fantastic international players, but it just wasn't their time when a Lions trip come their way, and they've missed out on a Lions tour playing against the Lions in their home country, and they've always regretted it. So it shows you how powerful this is for South Africa as well.
Always great to hear from Jason. He's got more stories he couldn't say when in front of a microphone than he does, but it's great that he's there and sort of alongside this group of players, because he has been there and done it. Gents, let's just talk about the forwards, and in terms of the coaches, Adam, I mean, I know Steve Tandy pretty well. You've also got Robin McBride there, as Sean mentioned earlier on. What do you make of that?
Steve will do a great job. I think Robin's standing now at the international level for the past sort of decade. So, you know, it won't be too daunting for them, I don't think. You know, I know Steve's come pretty new to international rugby, but I think line-out-wise, the only issue I see is there isn't any real, like, line-out nerds in there. Maybe there is, but, you know, usually there's a line-out nerd, you know, they got who loves the line-outs and it kind of drives that sort of, but they'll all know stuff about, but they don't see anyone who's like all encompassing in the liner, which, you know, most liners do have had that type of guy in it. But so who could help Rob McBride out and take a bit of, but there's a lot of experience there. So I think I'm sure they'll manage it themselves. But
yeah, I think Itoje and Alan Wynne will help him out a lot that way. I think, you know, knowing from the last tour, Itoje was very, very good on detail and explaining different movements and stuff to lads, and he wants to go very fast into the line out. So I think that'll help him a lot. But I do think that they could do with another forwards coach to give Robin a hand, or an assistant, for instance. And I don't know who that could be. It could be like a Paul O'Connell figure once the tour starts, or someone along those lines. Yeah. Bomb, you're in. Pack your bag.
Well, since we're on the same podcast, I don't know you mentioned me.
Hand luggage. but definitely someone just to help with the line-out would be a help to them. And
or scrum.
Sure, if they picked up the phone, to Paulie, he'd jump at it. But someone along that kind of lines, that as Baum said, they are line-out nerds, because these line-out meetings, like, they go on forever. Like, with these boys, it's madness. And then you're going around in circles, and back rowers aren't doing anything, and props are looking around going, what's the call? So it's pointless, that's really, but they feel good about themselves.
That is the best way of describing it. They're going around in circles. Yeah, that's such a good way. That's such a good way of describing it. Yeah, that's so true.
There is still a lot of rugby to be played, as we touched upon. You know, the people who are picked today have got to have a wing and a prayer sometimes to still get there, because they will be playing. You can't really wrap yourself up in cotton wool, can you, Sean?
It's actually the worst thing you could do. And I always said, after the selection meetings the last time, or selection day, the last two tours, I was like, go as hard as you can now and get yourself ready for a battle. Because if you go in, if you know you're going into a game and you're like, oh, I need to mind myself here, you're going to get absolutely broke up nowadays. So it was, I actually hurt my knee, I think, going into the last tour. I was rehabbing for the first 2 weeks. So I had it easy enough. I didn't have to play in that madness of a start that we had over there. So I defeated up having a few beers. But it's definitely something that you need to keep playing well and going hard. There's certainly, at this level, when you're picked, you're not saying to yourself, oh, I'll take it handy now for the rest of the season. That's not the case. So I don't think anyone would be doing that, for sure.
Okay, I don't think the English Premiership teams will have a choice. You know, Exeter are going to be thereabouts come the playoffs. You know, whoever the English, obviously Saracens a bit different, but I think, you know, I don't, the, what's it, the Rainbow Cup, is it?
The Rainbow Cup.
So I don't know how that works now, how who can win it, or what the deal with that is. But certainly, I think the Premiership teams will, you know, they'll be battle hardened. There's, you know, there's still five games in the league to go, so there's a lot of rugby to be played for these boys, and they'll want to play it, and because they're sending it at the end of the season for them, for their club.
Guys, thank you very much for your time. Adam, I want you to go immediately and start phoning either Steve Tandy or Warren Gatland and get yourself out there.
I will give him a text now. Yeah.
Thanks very much. We'll do it all again next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The House of Rugby, Season 3 on Joe.